And this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from my office in the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. For people who can distinguish the difference between the truth and disinformation and indoctrination, and can recognize those clever gatekeepers who incorporate a bit of deception along with the truth while doing damage control for the government's version of so many current and historical events. To see the guest lineup for Studios A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. Please visit the radio schedule page at spingola.com to see a list of my guests together with links to their websites. For questions or comments only during the program, email spingola1 at yahoo.com. Otherwise, my regular email is deanna@spingola.com. Please hold your calls until we open the phone lines in the second hour. Then you may call with your comments or questions at 800-313-9443. I will be a guest today on The Unsolicited Opinion with Maggie Roden, and that is between 4 and 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, or Daylight Time, on the Orion Broadcasting Network, and with Dr. Rebecca Carley on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Daylight Time on What's Ailing the World at These Changing Times Radio. I have posted links where you might listen to those programs on today's date. My guests today are Pastor Eli James, a well-known Christian identity personality, and Hein Bonsaier. Eli's website is Anglo-Saxon-Israel.com. And Eli, he's not there. I emailed Eli twice this week, but I never heard back from him, which is most unusual because he always responds right away. Now, the ADL recently took down his website, which I just mentioned, Anglo-Saxon-Israel.com, but it seems to be back up. And I could not find his phone number. The only one that I could find online was for Eli James Publishing, but the source said that Joseph November owned that company, so it was kind of confusing. So I hope that we can get Eli back here. Is he with us or no? No. Okay. What happened to Eli? I don't know. Do we have Hein there? Oh, okay. We're just having a few technical difficulties, and so we will do some other things here. As I was saying, Pastor Eli James' website is Anglo-Saxon-Israel.com, and we will try and during the break they will try and contact them. Meanwhile, often we hear that somehow Germany has taken over the U.S. government. Now, this is kind of a ridiculous thing, and there are several reasons why the New World Order is not the German Fourth Reich or controlled by the Vatican, which is something else that we often hear. And so lately I have been creating a list, and it's gotten to be 3 pages long, and the list is all of the very various reasons that the New World Order is not caused by Germany or by the Vatican. And did I hear Eli's voice? Did I? Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back, and maybe we'll have guests, and maybe we won't, but we'll try to.
Are you you struggling to reclaim your health? Let me share my story quick. My nightmare of chronic fatigue, PTSD, and autoimmune issues cost me everything. A bankruptcy, loss of home, even my wife walked out on me with no hope in sight. A miracle happened after hitting my lowest point. I discovered ION and RNA drops. It literally saved my life. I want to share my story with you and offer you a trial-size mini bottle of RNA drops. Visit www.rnafreemini.com. Again, that's www.rnafreemini.com. It's time to take your power back now. You can also look for our free trial offer ad at republicbroadcasting.org. RNA drops.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
James on the line, and we have his friend, Hein Boonzaier.
Yes.
And he is from South Africa. So, Eli, you mentioned when you wrote to me that your friend is in America, and that he is doing some work to expose the genocide and the land theft. That's being committed against people in South Africa.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and, of course, this is actually occurring worldwide against white people. We have an organized, what I call, silent genocide that's going on, enacted by, you know, anti-white Muslims. We have, you know, the invasion from Mexico, and obviously it's very, very apparent in South Africa what the black regime there is doing against whites, okay? So Hein is here to promote what's going on, to create awareness, because the mass media is not covering this subject at all, okay?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So Hein, tell us what is going on. Tell us your background and how you got into being a representative for the Boer people there in South Africa.
Hello, Diana, and good morning, all your listeners. I am the president of the Federal Freedom Party in South Africa. And we have been trying for some time now to reach the international community on what is really going on in South Africa, the genocide of the white population, and also the continuous move of the ANC government towards a socialist communist regime. So we use any opportunity that we get to go to international people and to try and create awareness of what's going on in South Africa so that the people will know what's happening, and also to try and muster some support for ourselves.
Okay. Now, how did you meet Pastor Eli James?
We met Pastor Eli through the internet by his writings and the message that he's taking out to the world of the Jewish manipulation of international affairs. And we made contact with him and immediately saw that we are definitely in line with our view of the world. And we decided to make contact and come over here to visit.
Okay. And so will you be doing some radio programs and personal appearances?
Yes. Pastor Eli arranged some radio conversations, radio shows, and we're also going to do some conferences where I will be addressing the people on the situation in South Africa.
Okay. Yes?
Yeah, and... Yeah, we have about a 10-day schedule of conferences and radio shows, and you graciously obliged to. This is actually our first show in the series, and as Hines said, there's a major element of South Africans now who are aligning themselves with the Christian identity viewpoint. Number one, the South Africans there, the white South Africans, many of them feel that they are of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they migrated to South Africa from primarily Germany, Holland, and France. And they also see themselves as the biblical Israel, which is what we teach here in Identity about us Americans, Anglo-Saxon Americans. And so they became aware of my website and my writings on the subject, and found out there's tremendous agreement, theologically, between American Israel and the Boer people of South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, all righty. This problem has been going on for quite some time, even in the 1800s.
Yes.
And, in fact, it began on January 8th, 1806, didn't it? When there was the Battle of, what was it, Blaubeuk?
Okay. Well, Hein, why don't you give some background about how the white South Africans began to migrate into Africa, and we'll talk about current affairs later.
Well, wherever you'd like to take it, as long as we get the information out that
right.
You really want to get out.
Yes.
Yes. The white settlement in South Africa was actually started not by a European country, but by a company called the United East India Company, or in Dutch, the VOC, Verenigde Oost-Indische Compagnie. And they decided to just create a halfway post between Europe and the East for their ships to be replenished on the trips between the East and Europe. So they never had any inclination of establishing a colony or anything else. They were just there to replenish the ships and make maximum profit for the settlement. But as more and more people migrated from Europe, there was actually a settlement of white people that was created. But as the company was only out for profit, they never looked after the private people within this community. And eventually the people started to move northwards and eastwards from Cape Town. This settlement was created in Cape Town, which is the most southern city in South Africa. So,
and what year was this, Hein?
That was in 1652.
1652, okay.
Yeah, it was started. And by about 1700, it was a fairly huge colony of white settlers who encountered the black people then at a place called the Fish River, far away to the east. Now, at the same time, while the white people were moving eastward, the black people were moving out of Africa along the eastern seaboard towards the south. So the myth that the whole of South Africa was populated by black people at that point in time is not correct. While the white people were moving eastward and northward, the black people were moving south.
From northern...
So we actually arrived within the territory at the same time.
Okay.
Now, in about 1806, the VOC was on the brink of bankruptcy. So the Dutch handed over this territory to the English. They couldn't maintain it anymore, and they couldn't govern it anymore. And immediately the English started to oppress, especially the white population. They wanted to anglicize the territory and create equal rights for all racial groups, which was not acceptable to the white population, who at that stage began to create their own identity and own culture, and even an own language, which we call today Afrikaans. We're very close to Dutch.
Be the fallback currency.
And then the Afrikaans people decided to move away from the English, and they started to move inland to the north and further to the east, where they encountered the Zulus, which is a well-known ethnic group in South Africa. Now, at first, they tried to negotiate a land deal with the Zulu king because they wanted to be independent. But after an agreement was reached with the king and the contract drawn up, the Zulus killed the representatives of those pioneers. So that was our first encounter with the black people then of South Africa. The Battle of Blood River that Dehana is talking about was actually after the killing of some of the pioneer groups. The Boers at that stage, or the Afrikaners, decided to stand together, and they faced, with 450 men, faced a Zulu army of about 15,000 Zulu warriors. And the night before the battle, it happened on the 16th of December in 1838. They actually went into a prayer and make a covenant with God, that if God delivered them from this force they were facing, they would then maintain this day into the future with their children as a day of Sabbath and Thanksgiving. On the 16th of December, the Zulus actually then attacked, and the Boers, only 450 of them, they had the victory in this battle, and only two of the Boers were wounded, while about an estimation of 3,000 to 4,000 Zulu warriors were killed, and then they fled. Now, one must remember that this battle was fought with the old muzzle-loading rifles. It wasn't modern rifles. So since that day, on the 16th of December each year, we have a Sabbath, and we then give thanks and reiterate our covenant with God on delivering from that battle.
Okay. So, Hein, do the South African people today in general still celebrate that day, or is it politically incorrect to do that now?
Yeah, the ANC changed this into the Day of Reconciliation. But throughout the old South Africa, we had the Day of the Covenant. And we as Afrikaners still keep that day up to today.
Okay.
Didn't things really go kind of awry after 1867 when they found the first diamonds in the vicinity of the Orange River in South Africa? And didn't things go really wrong because of the other resources, and when the English came in and started really exploiting all those resources?
Yes. Diana, it's interesting. The English, they realized the importance of the Cape on the route between the East and Europe. But after the finalization of the Suez Canal, they decided that the Cape wasn't important to them anymore, so they backed off a little until the discovery of gold and diamonds. And then they realized that this was a way to fill the international financial controller's pocket.
Right.
And that's when they really decided to...
I'm sorry, gentlemen. We do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Oh,
answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling. And with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days? And keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee. And it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet. And we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Christian Identity Movement, Anne Hein Boonzaier, and he is from South Africa. And you were explaining about the situation there. And could the people, the residents there, whether they be black or white, could they have not worked out their situation there with each other if the British had not come in to exploit the resources?
Ms. Diana, yeah, sorry, I missed that first cue on the commercials that's going in. You spoke about the period of the late 1800s. At first, the English were very interested in the importance of the Cape on the route via between the East and Europe. But after the Suez Canal was finished, they lost interest until the discovery of diamonds and gold within the territory. And that's when they decided to put their grubby little hands on the whole of the territory and create a colony. They used an English businessman called Cecil John Rhodes. He was the creator of Anglo-American to forward their goals within the territory. And you will be surprised that a lot of the legacy of apartheid was actually because of English intervention in the affairs of the territory. Now,
right. So you think
so
that
far as to declare a war on the two Boer republics that were created.
So you think that they could have worked out their difficulties if it had not been for the British people who came in to exploit such a seized road?
Yeah, I wouldn't see that simplistic. I think the racial tension in South Africa has a long history, and it's but a struggle for territorial dominance that was actually the problem. But yeah, the English played their part in creating the situation that led to the tension within the apartheid system.
Okay. Now, so the merchants have founded these, the Kimberley in South Africa, and they started mining for gold and for diamonds, and they used a lot of the labor that was already there, but they didn't really want to pay the price for that labor. And so didn't they institute some sort of taxation program when the laborers decided that they didn't want to work for such low wages? And didn't those taxes basically compel them to work for the mines in order to pay the taxes? Because they did have a barter system, didn't they?
Yes. The labor system within the mining industry in South Africa has got its own interesting history. At first, they wanted labor as cheaply as possible. Now, before the Anglo-Boer War, they imported a lot of Europeans to work in the mines, and they used this as an excuse for war because they said that these foreigners must now get voting rights within the Boer republics, which the Boers said, no, we're not going to give them voting rights because they're not citizens of our republic. So that was just an excuse. After the Anglo-Boer War, they wanted the blacks to start working because blacks were cheap labor, but the blacks did not want to go. So they used all sorts of underhand tactics to get the blacks to work, and that has had a profound effect on the family system within the black communities, because eventually they got the blacks working in the mines away from their home territories, and it broke up the whole family system within the black tribes. Okay.
Right, because didn't they, in order to keep them from taking things out of the mines, didn't they put them into barracks and basically imprison them into communities where they could not leave?
Yeah, it's not that bad. They created a system where all the blacks would live in what we called hostels. And the situation in those hostels were more or less always, very poor, and the people just had to get by. And they worked long hours underground. So the English didn't do their bit of improving the situations within the hostels. And like the Jews in the ghettos, that created a situation where the blacks had a lot of time on their hands to do some all sorts of planning, and also their strive for freedom was created in those hostels.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Let me quickly comment on your previous question there, Deanna. And by the way, we're having a little bit of difficulty hearing you, so we have to pay close attention to what you're saying. But,
am I not speaking loud enough?
Your signal's not very loud here. But we can hear you adequately. It's just while we're talking, it's hard to hear you bringing things in. Okay.
I'll have to yell.
Yeah. But the Rothschilds have been using this strategy of importing immigration to create a Balkanized state, and thereby create a civil war within an existing community, all right? So what Hein was saying is the Boer people, who were essentially farmers, had this farming community, and they were living peacefully among themselves and relatively peacefully among the surrounding black nations, which there weren't really that many in the early days because most of the Africans lived in Central Africa, and the Boer people only really confronted a few small tribes such as the Hottentots and the Pygmies, okay? And I think Hein mentioned another tribe earlier. But
okay,
they were essentially
gentlemen, we do have to go to a three-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within 3 stone's throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org for our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy. We urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, 1 heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Today, our pastor Eli James, he is with the Christian Identity Movement, and Hein Boonzaier, and he is in this country just telling what is going on now, and we were just going over a little bit of background, talking about the Crown Colony, which was basically, since the Boer War, governed by a legislative assembly that was presided over by the governor of the colony, which happened to be Lord Alfred Milner.
Yeah. Well, I was just giving a little bit of background of how this is kind of common practice by the Rothschilds and the International Jewish Banking Committees, that what they do is, once gold and diamonds and other minerals were found in South Africa, the Boer people stood in their way, because the Boer were farming the very land that needed to be mined, right? So they imported a bunch of British people to set up a colony, and the more British people that moved in, the more opposition to the Boer people sprang up. So they actually, they created a civil war by immigration, okay? And they do the same thing today. They're importing illegal Mexicans into America. They're importing Arab Muslims into Britain and into Europe, and this is all colonization driven by the international Jewish banking, fraternity. They're doing this deliberately to destabilize our countries, and this is exactly what they did in South Africa in those days, okay? So Hein can pick it up, from there.
Yes, they Well, they created the Anglo-Boer War, in which 26,000 of our women and children were killed in concentration camps, just to establish financial control of the territory. And since then, the mining industry in South Africa has been in the hands of the British and the Americans, the international banking community. You know, South Africa has been blessed with the most deposits of mineral wealth in the world, and that still goes on today under the ANC government, where they use dummy corporations and get mining and prospecting licenses left, right, and center just to mine the land because of the mineral wealth.
Right. Yeah. That is a very difficult situation. And those, it's also very interesting that when they were importing all of this cheap labor, that Herbert Hoover, who worked for the Rothschilds, sent in about 200,000 Chinese people. And the story of their transportation over to South Africa from China and the way that they were recruited in Hong Kong and in other areas. I mean, these people were poverty-stricken, and yet they were going into a more desperate situation than they were in to begin with. But it was Herbert Hoover that sent 200,000 Chinese laborers to their death, most likely, in South Africa. And he made a bunch of money doing this because he charged a certain amount for transportation and then bought insurance for them. And these people were under constant armed guards, were driven like cattle into the compound. That was
slavery.
It was a terrible situation.
Yeah, just like slavery, right?
Yeah, Diana, the Chinese didn't last long as the mining laborers. As they drew the black people into the mining industry, the role of the Chinese actually was diminished to nothing. They insignificant number of people in South Africa at the moment. But in terms of establishing a very cruel system on the black labor, that was paramount to them making maximum profit out of the mining industry in South Africa. And most of that profit was taken out of the country to England and to America. A very little of that stayed back to create something within the country itself, except for influencing the government since 1910, when the Union of South Africa was created, up to the point of today where the ANC is in charge and they're still calling the shots.
Right, the internationalists. Yeah.
Yes.
Not so surprising.
Yeah, so Deanna mentioned the Lord Alfred Milner earlier. What was his role in all of this?
Well, Milner was at that stage the governor of the Cape Colony, which was under the English rule at that stage. He was just a puppet of Cecil John Rhodes.
Okay.
And they worked together with Lord Neville Chamberlain, who was the Prime Minister and later Minister of War in the English cabinet. And via the International Financial Committees, they decided to go ahead with this war in South Africa, which, by the way, up to that point, was the most expensive war that England fought in its entire history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about the concentration camps? Most people don't know anything about the fact that the British were actually the first to create death camps.
Yeah.
Not really. No, they were not the first.
Mm-mm. Okay, who was the first?
No, they were not the first.
Okay.
Most of those people that died there were women and children. And,
that's right.
Yeah. And we're talking a lot of people. It wasn't just a few. It was a lot of people. And not only that, but they salted the wells of these people that were trying to farm. It was terrible. But I'm sure Hein knows more about it than we do.
Yeah,
so go ahead,
Hein.
I'm sorry.
Why don't you go into the detail of the concentration camps? Yeah.
Initially, the war started in 1889. And it was in late September that the English arrived in South Africa. Now, the story that they told to the English people back in England is that the war would be over by Christmas that year. They said the boys will be back in time for their Christmas meal back in England. And by 1999, they were still struggling to even just get hold of the whole of the country because of the resolve of the Boer warriors and the Boer soldiers. So when they found that they will not be able to, in normal military practice, overcome the Boers, they decided to change the war to the women and children.
Mm.
Because what better way to break a man's resolve than to actually threaten his family?
Assault his family, yes.
So they took, what they did was, they scorched the whole of the country, they burned down all the farmsteads, all the houses they could find, and those women and children that were left on the farms were herded like cattle to all these concentration camps where the situation was appalling. They didn't give enough food for the people, they didn't get water, they didn't get medicine. So in some of those camps they had 500 burials a day of children that were dying of dysentery and all kinds of other diseases. So the tally by the end of the war was 26,000 women and children that died in those hell camps. And even today, the English deny that it was a form of genocide, but we regard that as the first genocide on the Boer people.
Yes.
Right. And basically, they use the same kind of scorched earth policy that the North used against the South during the so-called Civil War in this country.
That's the same strategy that they followed. Yeah, the livestock that they couldn't use for their armies, they just killed and they burned everything. As the winter progresses in South Africa, the land becomes very dry, and the grass and the vegetation get very dry and brittle.
Mm-hmm.
And they just torched the whole country. It looked like one black piece of soot at the end.
Right. Let me just quickly, I want to stress the Rothschild strategy here. They import Chinamen from China, they import Britishers from Britain,
and they bring the
blacks from Central Africa, all against the Boer people, right? And they're actually making war against the Boer people who just want to be farmers and want to be left alone. But, of course, the international mystery Babylon beast, right, international finance-driven beast, will not leave anybody alone if they've got wealth to be stolen from them, right? And that's what the Rothschilds do. And the Boer Wars are a perfect example of how they operate. And all the wars we have today are based on the same strategy, you know, using people to fight against each other while they profit from the war and genocide against, you know, the whites, the blacks, the Chinese are all, and today the Arabs as well,
yeah,
are being committed on a regular basis, and nobody seems to understand that it's the bankers that are responsible for all this.
And it is also always to their benefit to have a puppet government in any country with mineral wealth or where they can make money.
Yes.
Now,
and of course, they also make money off of the war.
Well, hold on, Deanna.
Because they sell the armaments and everything to make this war.
But what was that, Deanna? Please repeat that.
I said they also make money off of any kind of warfare because they are usually the people who are manufacturing the guns and the ammunition everything else to perpetrate these wars.
So they
do it in several different ways.
Yeah,
I think it was Nathan Rothschild that at one stage said that war is a very profitable business.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but for them it is beneficial to have a puppet government. And the Afrikaners stood in their way in South Africa because they have reached their pinnacle of control over the Afrikaners. So that's why it was important for them to keep the black Africans now in charge of the country, to further their goals and to further mine the country. One of our provinces is turning into one big mining dump because of licenses being given left, right, and center by the ANC government. And the only people benefiting from that within South Africa are the ANC fat cats and their friends,
mm-hmm.
the ANC elite, because they get a lot of kickback and they get shares in these mining companies.
Okay, so the puppet government is now run by the ANC, which is primarily black-run government, and these are the ones who are today committing the anti-Boer and in general, anti-white genocide going on. It's still going on today, Deanna.
Sure. It's going on in just about every country.
Yes, yeah. So Hein, you want to bring us, transition us from the Boer Wars to, Nelson Mandela and the ANC, and then again, we have the international Jewish bankers propping up the ANC, which is a quote-unquote communist revolutionary organization. However, we also know that the Rothschilds are involved in financing that. Okay, you want to pick up that story, Hein?
Yeah, the blacks were very fragmented, mostly after the creation of the Union of South Africa.
Okay.
So a black lawyer by the name of Pixley Kathemi, he brought all these different tribes together, and then they created what was the precursor to the African National Congress. Now, there was a very interesting thing going on, because Jan Smuts, General Jan Smuts, who is hailed as one of the big leaders of South Africa, was actually a Freemason, and he was friends with the Rothschilds and the international bankers within England. And he was the greatest champion in South Africa of driving the affairs and the mining industry in South Africa. Now, at that stage, the blacks were not important enough, so South Africa had a focus on Europe and the affairs in Europe. Whereas the Afrikaans leader said, no, but we must look at the internal problems of South Africa and the aspirations of the black people. But then the Second World War broke out, and the whole focus of the country shifted towards going into the war on the side of England, and where the Afrikaners said no at that stage, because the only ally that we had in the Anglo-Boer War was Germany. So we had a pro-German attitude at that stage. So the whole focus shifted once again to Europe, and nobody looked at the aspirations of the black people in South Africa. Now, by the time of Verwoerd, when the National Party came into existence, what Verwoerd actually wanted to create with the apartheid system was a confederacy of states under the Union of South Africa, where each of the black tribes would get its own totally self-governed territory. But by that time, the focus went back to the mineral wealth of South Africa, and that didn't fit in with their plans.
Right.
So they decided to eradicate the Afrikaner domination of the country and to get the blacks into power for the next puppet government that they can use.
Yes. Now, isn't it true, during all of African history here, that these various black tribes were fighting amongst themselves?
Yes. By the time the pioneers moved into the country, there was what we call the Defakani. That's where the Zulu tribes went rampant. They killed tremendous amount of other black people, other black tribes, and the people were actually running all over the country. And a lot of them found protection from the Boers against the Zulus at that stage.
Okay.
So the Defakani was the period in which a lot of black people were killed by black people.
Yeah, Deanna?
Who provoked that? Was there some kind of provocation that, I know that sometimes we have certain groups, certain CIA groups that go into a country, and they provoke warfare between certain residents within that country. That's what they did in Vietnam, between the people in the north, Catholics in the north, and the people in the south. They just do that. They provoke warfare and dissension. Now, is that what happened there in South Africa?
Do you understand the question, Hein?
I didn't hear the question.
Yeah, was this Zulu warfare against other black types provoked from the outside, or was this Zulu action?
No. By that time, it was pure imperial expansionism by the Zulus.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Yeah, so the other tribes were actually seeking protection from the Boers against the Zulu at this point, correct?
Yeah, there are numerous occurrences within the history where the Boers actually went on expeditions against the Zulus on behalf of other tribes and chiefs.
Wow, you never hear about that.
For example, on the first agreement that was reached with the King Dungan of the Zulus, one of his prerequisites before signing the contract was that a lot of his cattle that was stolen by another tribe must be retrieved. And the Boers actually went out and retrieved his cattle. So that happened quite a lot, that the Boers had to go on expeditions against some other tribe and then retrieve some of the stolen cattle or stolen goods and return it to the chiefs that went into an agreement with them.
Yeah, so the Boers were not anti-black, right? They were actually helping other black tribes against the Zulu who were making war against them.
At first, we were trying to negotiate the settlement of land. And when we found that the blacks were not to be trusted, they didn't have a comprehension of European law. So a contract for them was something that if it benefited them now, they would go into that. But tomorrow, if it doesn't benefit them, they would just disregard that.
Right.
That's the way they work and think.
Right. Right.
And, of course, the English and the people who do understand law impose their law on people who don't. And that's the way it's always been. All righty, gentlemen, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our 1-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
And we're talking about the current situation in South Africa and the fact that it had its beginnings, quite a while ago.
Right.
And as usual, it has to do with raping a particular country, in fact, all the countries of the earth, for the resources.
Right. Right.
Because there are a certain group of people that like to control all of those resources.
Yeah.
And that is what they do, and they use warfare and genocide in order to do that.
Yeah, and
so, Hein, pick it
yep.
up there.
Yeah, so Hein, why don't you go? You had mentioned Cecil Rhodes. How did the De Beers company get started and get involved in all this?
Yeah, the De Beers company is actually the mining, the diamond division, whereas Anglo-American was the gold mining division.
Okay.
Created by these guys. The De Beers name comes from the farm on which the first diamond was found. Well, it belonged to a farmer with a surname of De Beer.
Okay.
And they decided to call the company after his surname. But it was created by a Jew called Barney Bonata and Cecil John Rhodes together. They created and they got hold of the whole diamond mining concession of South Africa and a large portion of Southwest Africa. You know, diamonds are so full in South Africa, you get areas where the farmers walk behind the plows, plowing their fields, and they pick up diamonds as the soil is turned around.
Wow.
There are a tremendous amount of diamonds within that country. Now, they created the Beers Company, and just one example of how they manipulated the government since creating all these companies was that in South Africa, it is illegal for a private person to own or have in his possession an uncut diamond.
Hmm.
Even if he picks up that uncut diamond within his own property, he must immediately
hand it over
to the police.
That kind of reminds me of the movie Blood Diamond, which I think came out, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And it's based on a book called by the same name. And it talks about the diamond industry. And, I mean, they just slaughter these people unmercifully.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So, Hein, you were saying that even today, maybe you can back up a little bit about how the Beers company treated the Boer farmers. For example, did they offer to buy their property before they started this, you know, wholesale slaughter campaign? How did that progress?
Just explain that around the slaughter campaign.
Yeah, yeah. Did the Beers company offer to purchase, to buy out the farmers before they instituted, you know, this genocide campaign?
Sorry, I'm not sure, Eli, but okay, let me explain it as follows.
Okay.
When they started to mine in the diamonds where it was originally found in a town called Kimberley, it was state-owned land, so they just went ahead and started to do the what we call the digging of the holes where they found the diamond.
Okay.
So, but whenever diamonds were found, then they got the government or the state to buy out the land from the Boers first.
Okay.
From the farmers.
We do have to take a real quick 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after station ID. Stay tuned.